I am neither David or Karen. I am their child. I'm Joel, their third child. And I am here with my dad today, and we're going to continue our discussion.
And why is that? What's happened to Karen?
Well, as mom gets older, both of you are doing this podcast kind of before we go, and she has a few books left in her that she's been talking about, and you've said, well, we need to clear everything off your schedule. You guys are not 20 anymore.
That's for sure.
So she needs to wake and get going on her writing. And this kind of becomes a distraction. And then it's clean this and do that and do this. And then suddenly the day is gone. So that's why Karen's
She's actually
here.
Made some good progress since last week. So I'm pleased with how she's doing.
Right.
Welcome to the Before We Go podcast, featuring Dr. David Maines and his son, Joel Maines. Here's David and Joel Maines.
So you and I had our first conversation last week, and what we're doing is going through memories for Dad here, and we didn't really have a huge amount of time to talk about it. We took my father out of his control, which is why I'm starting the program, because if I let him open it, then I'm going to be in a different seat, and I have to kind of wrestle the control from you a little bit and stay in the driver's seat.
We're going by your rules.
That's right. That's right. So what did you think? First of all, that was completely different for you just to have a conversation and not have an entire podcast laid out with a key sentence and things like that. What was your thought as you listened to it or felt about it afterward?
I thought you did very well. I think I was nervous.
You were nervous?
Yes, and I'm still a little nervous.
And your leg's bouncing here, so. Okay, well, I thought I did okay. Hopefully I'll improve. The Maines family is very much for looking at something. How do we make it better? That's kind of a philosophy I work with. So I feel like sometimes I didn't finish a sentence, or maybe I thought we need one theme that we kind of focus on rather than just be too abstract. But we're kind of learning as we go. So my hope is that you'll kind of have an opportunity to hear my father in ways that you wouldn't, because I'm here and I'm going to run a conversation differently. Maybe the dynamic we have as father-son will be interesting to you. That's the hope as you listen. But hopefully there will be a chance to hear him talk about memories and things that are important to him. You feel your age at this point.
Yes, very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you've said a few times, your dad died, what? How old was he when you're...
He was 91.
91. Yeah. And you are what?
I'm 87.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Getting close to 88. I don't want to skip any years if I can help it.
Stay a little closer to your mic there.
Okay.
Yeah, so you feel that, though, because you bring that up every once in a while, that, you know, well, Dad was, you know, 91, or you feel that date coming, don't you?
Yeah. I could watch Dad. He had retired by that time. He was a businessman, and a very successful businessman. But I'm aware that I'm reliving his life now. And some of the things that he would say to me, I feel those keenly now. I don't have the strength that I once had. I forget things. I'm not known as somebody who forgets, but I'm forgetting.
Yeah, well, I think you're a person who, you know, you're just... I mean, a workhorse is, I mean, you just...
I'd like to say I'm a recovering workaholic. I don't think I'm totally that, but I'm much better than I used to be.
But I think some of the... You don't get sick all that often.
No.
You just kind of keep going. So when my dad gets sick, you know, he's like, something is wrong with my body. It's called a cold, Dad. Many people feel those things. It's not functioning the way it should. So as you age, for sure, coming to grips with, you know, your recovery time is slower. Your, you know, reaction time is slower. Those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to talk today about people who've influenced you in your life. That would be our theme today. And let's start with early life, so we can kind of keep this focused. But I would like to know maybe, you know, a few people in your early life that influenced you and maybe who you became.
Strongest influence were mom and dad.
Your parents?
Yeah, they were. I talked about them some, but I'm more appreciative as the days go by as to who they were and their love of the Lord. all that was good. When I think about the last time we recorded, probably I talked about the family more than anything. I have memories of individuals, as I reflect on my life, who played a significant role that I really didn't think about until you said, let's talk about this topic. I'd like to, if I could, just zero in on two people. The first one was probably in my junior high years. That would be, what, 7th and 8th grade, 9th grade maybe.
Okay, so let's put a date to that. You were born?
I was born in 1936.
36, so mm-hmm. You're talking, you were 13, 14?
I was junior high age. There's a reason I remember that, because the first gentleman I would talk about was a professor. He had his doctorate at a seminary in Chicago. My dad would try to do things that he heard about, like Youth for Christ was very large in that day, and so he would bring people down from Chicago to Quincy. That's a little over 300 miles. Quincy's on the Mississippi River, 50,000 people, and Dad had been born and raised in Chicago, so it was a different world for him. Mm-hmm. But he saw the bigger world, and then he tried to duplicate that as a layperson in Quincy, and he would bring speakers down, both for church and for what would be like once every couple of months, a Youth for Christ rally. One of those was this gentleman who was a teacher at seminary, at Northern Baptist Seminary in the Chicagoland area, and he had as a hobby doing sleight of hand.
You're talking magic.
Yeah, not magic in terms of a spiritual sense, but just as a hobby. Usually the guest would stay at our house, or at the very least they would come and have a meal at our house. And this gentleman came, and I had no idea who he was. I didn't even think in those terms at the time, but he showed me some up-close magic tricks. And it was amazing to me. And I'd say, how did you do that? And then he said, well, that's a secret. We don't tell people how we do things, but did you enjoy it? And I said, yes, it was wonderful, you know.
This is palming coins and, you know.
That's correct.
The coin out of the ear thing? Or
all of those. Vanishing coins, you know, multiplying coins, little sponge rabbits in your hand that multiply.
Right. And this was all fine at this point? Because I know some of the, you know, there were the early Christians at that time who might be dubious about
it was sleight of hand. If you don't say magic, they had magic tricks as well.
But you don't say magic here, so clearly there was something that maybe you were a little more careful about. With
I didn't even think in those terms back at that.
It was point. Just the guy was doing something amazing.
He was doing something that I'd never seen anybody do in my life before.
Right.
It was quite something. And then just out of the goodness of his heart, he showed me how he did one of his tricks. Now, you're not supposed to as magicians, but, you know, he was being kind to me. He said, you like it? And when he came back the next time, I had practiced that, and I showed him what I did. Oh, that was very good, he said. You know, obviously he's pandering to me because he's way out of my league. But then he taught me another one. And this was something that became an intense hobby with me. In fact, I did my first magic show, if you could say that, where they had a talent night at the school, and I did one of my tricks, and the people clapped, and I thought, wow, that's really something.
That feels good.
I think that maybe I just discovered where my position in life should become. But I did that all through high school, and I began to learn more. I read about magic, and it occupied hours and hours of my time. And over a period of years, I began to be pretty good at it as a high school person. In fact, I was advertising myself with my little cards, you know, high school magician, David Maynes, rabbit in the hat, all of that. And I would drive places and do magic, you know.
So you say rabbit out of the hat. Are you talking you had real rabbits or these foam rabbits?
I had one once, and I decided never to use live rabbits again.
Well, that's a story I think we might need to hear.
No, let's leave it alone.
Oh, come on.
But Dr. Warren Filkin was this gentleman, and he got me started on something which became my reputation. You know, David Maynes is a magician.
Right. And that's probably, I doubt many people even really know that about you. And you were not, this wasn't, like many kids go through phases, dinosaurs or whatever, and magic can kind of be a phase. But this was something serious. I mean, you were not I mean, you took this very seriously.
I actually thought of someday maybe I can become a professional magician. But what I was learning, which I didn't know, was how to be in front of people, what they liked, what they didn't like.
I think there's a lot of look here and then I'm doing something over here, right? Your distraction. And
I was going to, some of them were church banquets. More of them were just people who heard about me and they would invite me to do something, maybe at the house, whatever, just as entertainment. But I was growing all the time in terms of my ability to do it. It's like if you have been practicing piano for a long time, pretty soon somebody says, would you come and play for us? Well, there are a lot of piano players, but there weren't that many guys who were interested in doing sleight of hand, you know.
Right, right.
I learned how to be in front of people. I wasn't so nervous after a while. Learned how to use comedy. Most of all, I think I learned the delight people have in surprise. You know, mm-hmm. you're always one or two steps ahead of people. You've rehearsed it. You know,
right.
You try to make it look spontaneous.
Well, I think we're getting an insight here, though, because this is hours and hours of practice. Clearly, mm-hmm. The objective is to make it look seamless and graceful and all that, but really it's hours of practice to pull that off, which then translated later into how you do a podcast. you're not as comfortable with winging it, though.
I would agree. What I learned was this was very interesting to me, and I got a chance because on occasion someone who did magic, it wasn't a big name like Blackstone or someone of that sort, but when I could, I would go see someone else do it. And then I said, boy, he's really good. I'm not very good. mm-hmm. Because you'd seen somebody who was far your superior and older and making a living doing this. But I learned so much. In fact, one of the things that eventually this became a part of me was when I began to be more in the church world, I thought, golly, there's nothing surprising. This week is like last week, which is like the week before.
You're talking about for a service.
A church service. And I thought, where is the, I'm putting it in quotes, where is the magic? Where is the delight? Where is the surprise?
Right.
And the only person I knew who used it was this Dr. Warren Filkin. And I happened to be fortunate enough because he kept the contact up over time. So he had a profound influence on my life, although I don't think he would ever dream that he did. But his graciousness to me and his reaching out to a kid in grade school and showing him how to do things that he could do well, that became a big part of my life. I eventually gave up doing magic. I worked in several churches. I worked with Youth for Christ. They used it, you know, in terms of giving me exposure.
Now we went to one of the halls at Wheaton College. That's where you went to college. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I mean, it was a pretty big place, hundreds and hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. And you had said, well, I did my magic show here, and you had filled it, you had said, right?
Yeah, Edmund Chappell, Doc Edmund was the president of Wheaton College. They named the chapel for him, but it was kind of a multi-auditorium. It didn't look like a church meeting, although a lot of spiritual growth meetings were held there. I was leaving college after I graduated thinking, this is still an option for me. Mm-hmm. My first year in seminary, I went to Fort Worth to the seminary, a Baptist seminary, and I was, because they found out that I did magic, I was a big half a page right up in the paper in Dallas, Fort Worth. And so I was serious about it, but the Lord had other things that he was wanted to say, because when you got in a seminary, if you got a preaching spot, they say, you can do magic, that's good, we'll get people to come, but now you also need to preach.
Right.
So I feel like the Lord tricked me in it all, but I'm not complaining.
But at its core, there's a delight that comes with a good magic trick or a good magic mm-hmm. show. What I hear you saying is, as you moved into ministry, you still had an inherent sense that, well, a sermon or a service mm-hmm. needs to contain that same kind. Why can't it still contain some sort of delight? And, you know,
you were surprised. It was surprised.
You come to church and it's something you're going to talk about. Did you see mm-hmm. how they did that? Or not, you know, not magic, but in the sense of...
Oh, that was different. I liked it. Case in point, I was 10 years in the inner city. We started a church in there, and I can talk about that another time. But one Sunday morning as a call to worship. We were praising God that he is multilingual. He understands all languages. You know, that's not said very often in church. But instead of just saying that, I wanted to illustrate it. So as a call to worship, we had one person stand and pray in English. And in about, I would say, two paragraphs into that prayer, another person stood in the congregation this time and began to pray in Spanish. Yeah. And so the guy in English was saying, you know, this is interesting. I know you're listening to me and also to my friend, but he speaks Spanish, but you understand Spanish too, you know. And then another person begins to pray.
Right.
So the three people praying, and pretty soon we had five, six people praying.
In different languages.
Yeah. And all praising the Lord because he was multilingual. And as they continued to pray, the choir in the back, it's a great choir too, they began to sing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer.
Yeah, that's
praise.
Great.
And the persons who were praying, they quieted down it. And then you just had this wonderful choir praying. Well, it was a surprise. And you could possibly have people, our congregation is relatively young, who would say, why did you do that? Well, no one reacted negatively. In fact, they understood very quickly what was going on, but there was a surprise. Something different happened.
It didn't feel like the church from 1960s people had grown up in, right?
Exactly, right.
Regimented as far as what it would do. So.
But I would say to myself, how do I, if I am crass, how do I wake people up so that they don't say, yeah, I've been to one church service, you've been to them all. We did all kinds of things like that were different and novel, but all had great meaning and moved people to say, wow, I'd like to come back again. So this is still in my mind all the time. It's a little bit different, but I can see even with us, I'm willing to try, you know, to do the podcast in a different way. Mm-hmm. If it can attract people, maybe I'll start thinking, how do I, you know, surprise them to the degree that they're just captured by this. And people say, you got to tune into that before we go podcast.
That would be fantastic. I have two thoughts. One is I want to go to your next person.
Okay.
And two is, of course, I will be doing these programs here for a little while. If you have a question for my father, you can send us an email on that at the end of the program. They'll give you the address for that. But go ahead, and we'll try to get some of those questions in if we can. If there's something you've always wanted to know, then go ahead and send that. And this is an opportunity. It'll be a little harder when they get back on the regular format once they've already set out the program. But you said there were two people, and I want to, before we get to the end of the program here, who would be another person that was a influence?
I was in church an awful lot. That was a massive influence in my life. It took hours of my time, and my hobby was the other big thing. I never really was, you know, I was never that popular person. Nobody had ever
You're
said,
talking in school?
Yeah, or? In school. I had friends, people liked me, but I was second, third.
You were kind of in the shadow of your older brother a little bit.
He's a phenomenal person, and my younger sister. But I was kind of, you know, I didn't even think in those terms. Another person had come to the school to be on the faculty, and he was the band director. Immediately, he became the most popular teacher in the whole high school. I don't know how many were in our graduating class in high school. I would say probably 400 or 500, so it wasn't a small school, but again, it wasn't a huge school either. His name was Daniel Perino, and I played baritone in the band, and one day he came to me and he said, they're having elections for student body president or student council president. Mm-hmm. There were several offices that people filled. And he said, I think you should run. And I said, well, so-and-so, and I named him. He's already running. And he said, yeah, you could beat him. And I thought, beat him? He's one of the most popular kids in the school. That's not it. And he said, I want you to think about it. I want you to come back and tell me whether you'd be interested or not. And I kind of sloughed it off because it just was totally out of my grid. But he persisted, and he got me again maybe a week later and said, now tell me what you thought about what I said. I think you should run for student council president, and I think you'll win. So he made it known that he was a little bit disappointed in me that I hadn't really responded to him at all. And I said, I don't even know what it's about, you know. He said, well, student council president, you on a student level, you are in charge of kind of where the students are, and you're the liaison.
Right. Whatever.
So I said, well, let me think about it again. And I came back and I said, you know, I don't have the faintest idea how to go about this, you know. And he said, I'll help you.
Wow. Well,
anyway.
What was this man's name again?
His name was Daniel Perino.
Daniel Perino.
And I mean, he came back several times as there were class reunions, and an incredible influence.
What was the influence there, other than obviously there's an influence on organization, but was it somebody kind of investing in you? What was the, I mean, there was a part of your identity that you said, wow, I have value. First of all, you won, long story short. Student council president.
Yeah, but I would, you know, I didn't even know how to organize the thing. I drew my own posters. I didn't have a group of people who were my companions. Mm-hmm. So I just did it on my own because I didn't think I would win. Then it was a swamping victory.
Wow.
It was like I'd never, ever perceived myself in that light. And I came home and I told my parents I won the election. I became student council president today. And, you know, neither of my folks, as I said last time, graduated from high school. They were depression people. And and that was it.
Really? They didn't...
My dad probably wasn't there. I don't remember the occasion. Dad was a traveling salesman. He was gone a lot during the week, and then he'd be home on the weekends. And, you know, and I thought, wow, that's something. Then, fortunately, the faculty member who was the advisor, his name was Myers, he was a good man, and he helped me. And he challenged me because people knew me as doing magic. But they said, you know, you're not doing this in a right way. And, in fact, at the end of the time, all of us got a grade, who were the officers, and he gave me a B. It made me mad. I was lucky I got a B because, as I look back, I didn't know what in the world I was doing. Mm-hmm. But I was being raised to a new level that I could never go back to yesterday anymore. So now it was an interesting thing.
So if you had not had this experience, you probably would have never thought of yourself as a leader or anything like that.
Furthest thing from my mind. I was always relatively short compared to other people. My growth spurt came probably my junior year of high school. I'm normal height now, but I wasn't then. I was very slow in growing. It was like a new dawning in my mind. But I look back and I say, an individual who changed my life was Daniel Perino, the band director at Quincy High School. And he went out of his way. In fact, at the end of the school year and after graduation, I went back to the high school to clean out my locker and such. And he was there, and he came up to me and he said, I want to tell you something, David. He said, my wife and I went through all the ceremonies and the different, he said, you were highly honored. You won just about any honor you could win. He said, but this is a little different. He said, my wife and I were talking, and we said to each other, of all the kids we've worked with, they had a little baby son. He said, we would like our son to turn out to be like you.
Oh, my word.
And that's exactly how my response was. Gosh, you know, he really means that, too. And so there was this encouragement in a world that wasn't just church. And I look back on that and I say, the Lord himself orchestrated that to put me in a place where I didn't always think as a loner, but I began to think, you can have an influence beyond what is going on here. So then the day after I graduated from high school, the family moved. They were waiting for me to graduate from Quincy up to Chicago area again, because in Dad's business, which had expanded, he wanted a Chicago headquarters more, or Chicago and Chicagoland area, probably. But I look back and I say, Lord, I thank you for Daniel Perino, and I thank you for Warren Filkin, you know. And I look back and I can say more people like that. But it wasn't me, it was people who were pushing me.
Right.
And you know, encouraging me.
As we wrap it up here, I think about, you know, you modeled that in your own life many, many times. I mean, the amount of times I can think of you taking someone aside or saying, you know, you may have gifts in this area, and or using the gifts of a congregation or That's very central to who you are as a person. I don't think everybody gets to see that, but you aren't a leader that's self-focused. You're very other people focused. Do you think that came from that experience too?
So the funny thing to me is that the church never said this about me. The church, somehow it never realized there was a world outside of the building. So that my senior year, because I had those positions, we had a Moody science film. You probably don't know, Moody Bible Institute mm-hmm. put out these
kind of nature films. Right?
Nature films, I guess you could say. But there was also certainly a message about Christ. It wasn't evangelistic. But when I went in to see Mr. Gerenstein, I said, I'd like for you to look at a film that I think would be good to show all of the church, not the church,
the school.
The school. And he looked at it and he said, that's wonderful. Sure, we can show that. You know, and so there were entrees. In fact, I was a little bit nervous when I went in as to what this was going to mean. But there were all kinds of opportunities. And I've never thought, like what you just said, this is who you are. It is.
Oh, well, it's core. Of
who yeah, you are. Yeah. It's
both you and Mom.
It's saying, there's more to you than you realize. You're far more attractive than you know. I don't say that in a sexual thing, because I could say that to a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, their self-image, because of how they've been raised or whatever, you know, they've never...
God's made you unique.
That's really where you're wanting to go. You know, what God has a plan for you. And but I look back and I think, wow, thank goodness, because those people changed my life. You know, I mean, here's a guy coming down from Chicago on a train, you know, to come and preach, and he's spending time in our family, and I'm just a little, you know, a little tyke in grade school, and he's changing my life. And something. I think that there probably were preachers who changed my life as well, but these are the ones that come to me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. Those are interesting stories. I think they are core to who you are. I'm glad I get to sit here and listen to that and hear that. And I hope as you're listening to the program, you'll stick with us as we talk through, because there will be more programs like this, and give my father an opportunity to just tell some memories and a little bit about his life that's maybe a little more autobiographical.
And give your mom a chance to finish those books.
That's right. That's right. So how long are we going to do this? Well, I don't know. Well, I just have to see how long Mom takes on her books. No, she will be back. Maybe we'll do this with her as well, or both of you together. But anyway, we appreciate you being with us today. And again, if you have questions, you can send them in an email to us. We would enjoy the correspondence. Try to tailor these to what you're listening to. But Dad, I thank you for, you're more relaxed now. It's nice. I got you in kind of a groove, and hopefully we can stay here as we move forward.
You're a magician in your own sense.
Well, we had a good teacher.
You've been listening to the Before We Go podcast. And if you would like to write to us, please send us an email at the following address, hosts@beforewego.show. That's all lowercase letters, hosts@beforewego.show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please remember to rate, review, and share on whatever platform you listen. This podcast is copyright 2024 by Mainstay Ministries, Post Office Box 30, Wheaton, Illinois, 60187.